I'm thinking of a story where a boat was having trouble and the old lighthouse guy went out there in his rowboat. And the only thing they saved off that whole ship was they threw a baby. He caught the baby in his rowboat. What if he hadn't gone out there? Sometimes we have to be on life seas. And what we do faithfully. And we show kindness, grace, and love, and goodness, and help to God's people. But if that's the only place we show it, we're just a bunch of Christian snobs. Go to 3 John, way in the back there, almost by Revelations. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelations, and then go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you can keep your finger in both places. If you can't, I'll announce it again. 3rd John. It's one of the books of the Bible. It's just a couple verses. That doesn't make it any less important, though. In 3rd John, let me start in verse 1. It says, the elder, that'd be John the elder, unto well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good and in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I greatly rejoiced when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Look with me back at the beginning. I don't usually use this word, prosperity, but prosperity is a direction of blessing, of goodness. It really does not matter how well things are going for you in the finances department, down at the job, in those other things, if your relationships are not doing well. If Jackie is not happy with me, and we're not experiencing good fellowship and friendship, everything else in life means way, way less to me. Because that's one of the fountains of joy that I drink from. And when there's a lid on the fountain and a padlock, I get thirsty pretty quick. There's a teaching that gain is godliness. We call it prosperity doctrine. But I love to think about this portion of Scripture when I think of prosperity. It says that thou may prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. Our soul does not prosper and grow and do well unless it's placed in a place of good food, unless it's placed in a place of truth, unless it's placed in a place where it can be nourished. We can gain in every other area, and our soul can shrink within us. Can you imagine this? We've all got a body, a spirit, and a soul. We're made in the image of God. God said, hey, let us make man in our image. He made man a triune being in three parts. When the body starts dragging and sagging and bagging and dripping and slipping, oh, it sounds worse. It's worse than a car. You know, my wife one time during Thanksgiving drove my car, and she said, "Oh, that car. Oh, I just hate that thing." And I said, "I knew you would pick it apart. I said, I knew you would destroy my car the minute that you drove it once." She said, "What's this noise? And what's this noise? And what's that noise?" I'm like, "It's a symphony." You turn it on, and the power steering pump starts whining loud. And then you go to turn, and the CV axle does a click, click, click. And that only happens when you're driving it. I've made them all sing together and make beautiful music and just go down the road and like, "Chitty, chitty, bang, bang, we love you." But how many of you have noticed that maybe your body ain't what it used to be? I used to play basketball with my body. Now I play with my mind. Right, Jake? I gotta outthink Jake as well as out hustle him, but he's so strong and young, and we had to have the Pennix go out on him just to even the level, the playing field. When we talk to somebody, see, John's the elder, so he's been through a few bumps and he's been through a few dings. I'm always knowing the answer. I say, "Brother Jackson, how you doing?" He says, "Well, preacher, it's nothing that a new body wouldn't take care of. One time I had this van, and I kept repairing it and repairing it and repairing it, and I'd look at how much money I was putting into it every month, and I said to myself, well, it's less than a payment, so I'm better off keeping this van and fixing it every month. My dad said, "James, you need to jack that van up really, really high and drive another one right under it." I eventually got a new van. But I'm glad that my wife doesn't look at me and start going, "What's that noise? And what's that noise? And oh, man, we got to get a new one. Let's just sell you or something." I'm glad she wants to keep me around. And you ever have an old new pain, Mr. Lindsay? Yeah. After the cab out one year, my knee hurt for 6 months. That was 2 years ago. And then it finally stopped hurting. And then a couple weeks ago, I'm like, "Oh, I know that pain. I remember that one from 6 months." I'm like, "Jack, my knee's doing that thing again. There's a pain I have right here. And it's only at the end of a super long, hard day. And you know what it is, Mr. Lindsay? Some guy hit me when I was playing football, and he hit me right there. He'd ring my bell. And he came over and he said, 'Man, I really got a good hit on you.' And I said, 'Was that at the beginning of the game? Was that at the end of the game? I don't know. I didn't give him the satisfaction of knowing he really hit me hard.' But there's different things in our bodies. And Jackie and I are in the glasses club. Yesterday I said, 'Could I borrow your glasses? I don't have mine with me and I can't see anything.' Get the menu at the restaurant. She has to read it to me. Yeah, oh boy. I know how you feel, Judy. Oh. It's difficult, isn't it?"
Uh-huh. At least you could borrow the glasses and I ain't.
Howard used to tell me this. He'd say, "When you get to 40, you're over the hill. But man, is there a beautiful sight and view as you're going down into the valley and you just start picking up speed. You go quicker and quicker." No. It's interesting. I never used to think about aches and pains. I never used to have to think about glasses. I still don't worry about what I don't hear. I'm okay with that, Mr. Lindsay. Sometimes there's a lot I can't hear. But the body starts to break down. Here's John yelling, he's saying, hey, it's my desire that you prosper, but as your soul prospers. One of the things we do here that I like is we sing once in a while, It's Well With My Soul. Have you ever been out there singing It's Well With My Soul when it really wasn't? Have you ever had an unforgiven sin, a grudge? Have you ever had something that was weighing on your soul and you're singing It's Well With My Soul? You know it at that moment. How is it with you? How is it with your heart? Are you right with God? And verse 3 says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. You know, the people I've worked with the last 3 years, they know that I don't use bad language. They know that I don't curse. They'll say something in a meeting and they'll stop and say, sorry, Beatty, or they'll call me the Reverend. There is a testimony that all of us have. When we meet another person who is also a believer, there's a spirit of God in us that fellowships with their spirit and allows us to know that we're the children of God. There is a connection there made between God and me and God and someone else. And here is John talking about the testimony that Gaius had. He had a testimony that he walked in truth, that the truth was in him. It ought to be that people say we're different. And I don't mean, oh, they're different. I mean, they're different because there's something about them. They're different because of something about their faith and their worship and their God. I mean, something different about our approach to life. It says, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. Come here, Jake. Don't get any bigger. Jake is doing well. He's doing well in his thinking. He's doing well with his attitude. He's doing well physically. He's even doing well with his appendix. He's not there anymore. Feel like you're missing something? No. I have great joy in seeing Jake do well. It's not guaranteed to me that he'll continue to do well. The devil's going to visit him. Temptation's going to visit him. He's going to have all of the things of life that every person faces. And he's going to have opportunities to not do well. You ever have the dog and you come home and the dog's been in the trash and he comes slinking around on the floor like he knows he's done wrong. And he's trying to say he's sorry and make up for it. When Jake's done wrong, it's all over him. He doesn't come in slinking, but it's all over him. It is a joy to me. It's a joy to his mother. I think it's a joy to all of us to see Jake doing well. There's a a touch of a magnet in Jake. He has influenced every child in our church. And he can use that for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can use it for blessing and benefit. Or it could end up being a horrible thing. Now, he's got a block of wood up here, and if he gets a little chip down on his shoulder and he starts to, you know, seek a different method and way, he could be a curse to everyone. Just like that. Jake, I love you. I'm glad you're doing well. Keep doing well. Okay, he said, I don't just have first-hand knowledge. I have second-hand knowledge. Said, there's people that are coming back to the church, and they're giving testimony that you're doing well. Where is the truth that we walk in? It's the Word of God. What is walking in truth? This is having the truth. Our actions and our behavior is walking in truth and doing the truth, obeying God's word. A couple of days ago, our neighbor came up and he asked if he could borrow a hot plate. He had a catastrophe in his kitchen. And Jackie said, you're going to get down there today and you're going to tell the neighbors we're bringing them dinner tonight. I said, okay. Between church, he said, you haven't been down there to see the neighbors yet. So I went down and saw the neighbors. While I was down there, they told me that Mr. Hunter used to walk around the neighborhood. He came to our services a few times. That he passed away this last week. And immediately, my mind started working on what we could do to be a blessing. What we could do to be a blessing and what must be a horrible time for this Ruth Hunter. I'm thinking about how we as a family and we as a church can go in and be a blessing. See, walking in truth is what you actually do. Anybody ever sat in church? They got all kinds of good thoughts and good verses and good intentions. They're like, man, I'm going to go out and do this and this and this. And you walked out the back door and you forgot the whole thing. Kind of woke up the next morning, 10 minutes late, jumped in, rushed in, got on your routine, went to work or whatever appointment you had, and you completely forgot what God had impressed on your heart and mind. This hasn't happened to me lately. But I used to go out to eat with Jackie. And I would order more food than I could eat. Man, is there anything better than having more food you can eat? And then they'd say, oh, would you like us to bring a doggy bag? Forget that doggy bag thing. Would you like to have a human serving for your refrigerator later? I'm like, yes! And they gave us that little styrofoam container. Packed everything in there. And then I was so focused on Jackie, her conversation, and the blessing we were enjoying each other's company, that I neglected to grab that thing off the table. I know. Can you believe it, Judy? And somebody swooped in there and cleaned off that table. And threw it in the trash.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yes, I know. It's so sad. I wonder how many little baskets of good ideas and good intentions and good thoughts and truth that we could walk in have people packed up beside them in church. And then they got up and they started walking around and saying hello and greeting folks. And they walked right out the door and they forgot it. And the blessing and the opportunity, the benefits lost. It says, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. Joy is an encouragement to the hearer. How many of you like to see encouraging and helpful things? How many of you like to hear quotes that are just so strong, like 10 words, and it's just a fortress of strength inside the quote? I remember my wife putting this on our refrigerator. Sometimes God calms a storm around his child, and sometimes he just puts his hand down on his child and calms his child and not the storm. And I've thought about that so many times. I love to hear encouraging things, even from history. Mr. Lindsay, looking at the book of, see God. God reaching in and changing things for America, right? Hey, see, the Spanish Armada swept into the English Channel, and the wind and the storm and the sea and everything was against them, and they were defeated horribly. And their admiral said, "I came to fight the English, not God." God changed things in the beginning of our country. He changed things so that the people that came and established on these shores first were people that believed and loved the Lord Jesus Christ and understood the Bible and followed salvation by faith and grace. Thank goodness. I love to hear the testimony time at church just because it's encouraging to me. I was visiting the neighbor and he said, "Well, how's the kids doing?" I was able to say, "Oh, they're doing all good." And I said, Jake's down a half a quart because he lost his appendix, but he's doing good too. What if I had to say, "Well, they're doing terrible"? I had to say, "They're doing just horrible. Jake's dropped out of school and he's trying to live on his own and just terrible, terrible." What if I had to give a terrible report? I've seen this happen. Sometimes during testimony time comes into something whole different. I believe we do well here with that, but I've seen it happen different places, where it almost stopped being about the Lord. Encouragement. And also strength to follow an example. Strength from God. Strength from the Word of God. Strength from God's people, the Bible. That we can obey the Lord. And 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise you, but be thou an example, the believer. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Every one of us, our lives have the opportunity to be a trophy of grace. And say, oh, Pastor, it's too late for me. I've messed up and my life's a mess. It's a trophy of God's redeeming grace. You say, oh, Pastor, I've missed a boat and I failed and it's completely beyond me. There is always hope while there is time. And if God's given you a heartbeat and a pulse, then he has hope for you. Every one of you can be an example to everyone else. And we're designed in such a way that we need that encouragement. We need that help and fellowship together. It says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to brethren and to strangers." The walking in truth, the obeying and serving God, the truth that's in you that is heard from other people, that is part of your testimony in your life. Live it out to everyone. There's a few places in the Bible where Jesus says, hey, if you only say God bless you to the people and say God bless you, or if you're only kind to the people that are kind to you, or you only have the folks over dinner that have you over dinner, If you only have time to talk to people who seem to be friendly, nice, or magnetic, or they can do something for you, you don't have any reward. That's the same thing that everybody does. Even the publicans do that. We heard about the publicans this morning, didn't we? He said, love those that hurt you, that hate you, that despise you, that use you. Take those ones who reject you and give the love of God to them. Go to the very most difficult place and sow. You know, I love having friends. I love connecting with people. I love to have a collection of friendships or relationships. I like old friendships. I like new friendships. I'm always seeking to build another relationship. I want to use every relationship I have in some way, shape, or form for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some friendships that are so easy. We like the same things. And we think the same things. And we have the same sense of humor. This is perfect. And then there's some the things we have in common are what make it comfortable and easy. The things we have not in common are what make it interesting. Interesting is not always comfortable. Right, Jack? We have a lot of things in common, and praise the Lord. Man, do we see a few things differently. My friend Ray that was here for Christmas, I just used to drive him insane. And we talked about it. And we both were saved and knew the Lord Jesus Christ. But we had such different ideas about so many things. And we continued to talk and continued to work on it. And Ray started worshiping with us. And our lives are intertwined. And it's a strong bond. Sealed by God. And it's something that logistics and time have not broken down. And raise someone that I can trust spiritually. That we're on the same page. We're on the same book. We have the same God. We have the same Holy Spirit. And we still have some different ideas. And Galatians 6 says, as we therefore have opportunity, let's do good to all men. Especially unto them of the household of faith. We should prefer Christians. And we should spend most of our time with Christians. But we should have time for all men. If we don't have that opportunity of rubbing shoulders and having contact, we will not have the opportunity to witness. We can't share Jesus Christ if we're cloistered. If you look at the church as an old lighthouse, if the lighthouse is 10 miles inland, it's not going to do much good for the people out there on the sea. The lighthouse got to be right on the shore and just looking down, and sometimes they find an old rock sticking out of the water and they build the lighthouse out there on the rock. And then, Jake, lots of lighthouses have a rescue station near them. Rescue station is equipped with hardy mariners who will jump into a boat and row out there to a wreck or something, and in the danger of the storm and in the dark of the night, they reach out and they'll throw a lifeline, or they'll get to that boat and they'll take I'm thinking of a story where a boat was having trouble, and the old lighthouse guy went out there in his rowboat. And the only thing they saved off that whole ship was they threw a baby. And he caught the baby in his rowboat. What if he hadn't gone out there? Sometimes we have to be on life seas. And what we do faithfully, and we show kindness, grace, and love, and goodness, and help to God's people. But if that's the only place we show it, we're just a bunch of Christian snobs. We have to do good to all men. And they're not all going to come in the shape and the stamp and the dress and everything that you're going to think of. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 1, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We live a life before God's people and a life before strangers that supports a credibility of the gospel message. We live consistently. We don't handle the word of God deceitfully. We have a plain, clear walk that commends itself. Many of you here, I know well and respect deeply. And I don't respect you because of some self-recommendation you gave. I respect you because I've been with you and I've watched you and I've seen your life through thick and thin, and I've seen a faithfulness and a consistency for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that commands and demands respect, even grudgingly respectable. Even someone that doesn't like the gospel, love God, or think highly of church, if they see you live a consistent life, they will respect it. And it'll be a platform of credibility for you to witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. In in 1 John again, back in verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, shall do well. When people come in, and they've known you in other places in life, they've known you in other times, they've known you in other circumstances. I don't walk up to everybody I meet and go, hey, I'm a preacher. Sometimes I know people for months and then it comes up that I'm a preacher. Hey, I'm a preacher. I don't do that. But I always want to be able to make that introduction to anyone in such a way that it will not bring contempt to the name of Jesus Christ. I'm down at Home Depot and I'm arguing about the washing machine they sold me that I don't like. And I'm arguing with vigor and energy. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get them to take this washing machine back. And there was a pause where they went to talk to somebody. And I said, Zach, I have to talk to them in such a way that after I'm done with this conversation, I can say, I'm the pastor at Town Center Baptist Church, and it will not bring a bad name to the church. There's a proper and a good way to go about everything. And that's a testimony we should have. We are ambassadors for Christ. If we look down a little further there in 2 Corinthians, it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be, or power may be of God, not of us. I thought about bringing up a clay pot and breaking it for you. We have the treasure of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, the teaching and the blessing that God has given us, but we have it in an earthen vessel. I say, oh my, you sure look nice today. Say, no, I'm just a bag of dirt. I look the same as I always do. The clothes are what look different. That's not a good way to receive a compliment, by the way. Just say thank you. But the truth of the matter is, God formed man out of the dust of the ground. We have this treasure that God's given us in earthen vessels. Has anybody dropped a cup lately and saw it break? We had a mug drop at our house and break, right, dear? Thankfully, it was one we had a duplicate of. Whew. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You are not as strong as you think. You're subject to temptation, to trial, and to sin. But the power is that God can take us and use our bodies and our lives for the testimony of Jesus Christ. In verse 8 it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. There's trouble within, there's trouble without, there's trouble in the front, and there's trouble in the back, but we're not distressed because, well, there's all this trouble around us. We know who is taking care of us. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You know what? I don't have a plan for that. Oh, this happened. I don't have a plan for that either. And this has happened. Well, I don't have a plan for that either. I don't have the solutions right now, but I'm not in despair because I know that God has the solutions for me. Persecuted. In a world of coexist, the only thing that is fair game is Christians and people standing for the Bible. Portrayed as hateful for loving the Word of God. Portrayed as haters because they cling to a sovereign truth. Because they believe in absolutes. Because they believe, thus saith the Lord. And if God says it's wrong, it's always wrong no matter who's doing it. Something like this caused John the Baptist to have his head chopped off. We're seeing little examples in our world. Somebody up in Washington said, we don't want to make a cake for that event. And they lost their business and their home. We're at a point where they call evil good and good evil. When I was Silas's age, Bruce Jenner was on a box of Wheaties as a decathlon champion in the Olympics. And when I was 40, he was on Life magazine as a woman of the year. There are some things I just don't understand. Persecuted but not forsaken. See, God tucked some things in the Bible for us because he knew we were going to come down to this. He said, one person teamed up with Jesus Christ is a majority in any situation. You might be persecuted, but not forsaken. He said, I will never leave thee. Cast down, but not destroyed. Keep getting back up again. Why? Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. When we look at the Savior and we look at everything He suffered for us, and then we look at our own sufferings, we all suffer. That's part of life. My brother Paul kind of breathes funny when he's sleeping. And one time my mom said something about it. And he said, Mom, I'm just letting you know I'm still alive. We all suffer. There's physical suffering. There's emotional suffering. There's spiritual suffering that we do. We all suffer. There's suffering that we do while we watch somebody else we love hurt. There's suffering that we do just being in this sinful earth. All of creation is moaning and groaning for what was in Eden, for Jesus Christ, for restoration. But our suffering is nothing to be compared with what Jesus Christ went through. When all of your sins and your sins and your sins. If my wife and I have an honest conversation, that might mean she wants to tell me all a list of things that I've done that have annoyed her in the last 2 weeks. Just saying, there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's one this morning that she told me about 10 times. I said, stop, you're not helping. After she gets past 3, you guys know that little teacher on Charlie Brown? Wah, 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 wah. It means kids don't hear adults anymore. After she gets past 3, I can't even hear it anymore. I just hear this, oh, poor me. I wish she would not be so down on me. And why? Has anybody else ever noticed that they can't take too many things in a row? There is the straw that breaks camel's back. Jesus Christ, He took all your sins. 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 He took all the sins past, He took all the sins during His lifetime, and He took all the sins in the future. You know how we feel stacked up or beat up or picked on? How He suffered. And He had never had a sin at all before that. God help me. Not to say poor me, but to bear in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. How can I do that? Going through a mock crucifixion is not it. It's living the precepts of the Bible and carrying the gospel to other people. Jesus lived on earth for a certain amount of time. It's relatively short. Most of us here have lived longer than Jesus lived on earth. And a person can accept Jesus Christ for their salvation. And then Christ lives out of their life. And they bear the body of Jesus Christ as they put their old man of sin down and live in the new man of the Spirit. And my hands aren't my hands anymore. My hands aren't my hands anymore. They're Jesus. And I go and find out what Jesus would have me to do. My eyes aren't my eyes anymore, they're Jesus. And my feet aren't my feet anymore, they're Jesus. And if I suffer, it's to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ as a walk in the truth.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.